We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Anarchy, thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and as always, it is my pleasure. It's so terrific to be here with you every week, get to spend this special time together. I appreciate the fact that you take the time to come and spend it with me when I put it out there like I do every time that I do. A lot to talk about and get into today. There's a lot of things on my mind and a lot happening in the world, and there's a million different things that I could talk about, but I picked a couple of them, and we'll dive into those in just a moment. I just would love it if you would take 2 seconds right now, wherever you're finding me at today, to click that like button, tap it, smash it, sing a song to it, lull it into a false sense of security, and slip it on, you know, whatever it has to do to get it to respond, and let me know that you're out there and that you appreciate what it is that I'm doing. Throw a comment in the comment section. I do respond to people sometimes, especially if it's a nice comment. If it's a negative comment, I mean, if it's productive, I'm willing to listen. But if you're just being a jerk, I don't care. And everybody knows that. But I do actually get quite a few comments and responses, people reaching out to me. I get people that just send me emails regularly. Just, here's a thing going on. This is interesting. I have people sending me emails about auctions and toys and comic books and things from all, because they know I'm interested in those things. They'll send me stories. They'll give me ideas. Give me ideas to send to Dr. Lloyd to possibly cover in a conversation with Dr. Lloyd and health and healing and the things that we talk about. You know that we do that show. We do a live show across Republic Broadcasting Network, the network that I'm so lucky to be associated with. We do a live show, Dr. Dean Lloyd and I do, every Wednesday afternoon at noon. It is right at lunchtime, Central Standard Time anyway. A couple of hours, it's called Your Health and Mine, and we just chat and we take calls. We've taken calls from all over the world answering people's questions about their health and health concerns. So if you're ever interested in something like that and you're not doing anything that would keep you from just listening, you can do that any given Wednesday, because it's every Wednesday that we're there doing it. And you could participate too. We invite you to participate in there if you ever have any questions. In fact, I'll be having five conversations with Dr. Lloyd coming up over the next 5 months, and they are all related and all tied together, and he has this larger vision of these episodes all tied together and making one cohesive unit. But we just take it one episode at a time, and this first episode of it is coming up here this weekend, and I think it's great because we're just taking the time to look in depth at some of the simple things that you can do to stay healthy and stay aware. It's not about health necessarily. It's about mental health in a lot of cases, and it's about having the right positive attitude. So I'm really looking forward to that, and the first part of that will drop. And if you're on the network, it should drop right after this. As soon as I'm done here, you should be able to listen to the first part of that with Dr. Lloyd, and pretty special. You can subscribe and you can follow along at Toward Anarchy anywhere. It's at Toward Anarchy. If it's not at Toward Anarchy, it's probably not me, because I pretty much don't pay any attention to any of the spaces out there where I don't own that sort of that space, that name. If you see, you might you might see me out there playing a video game or something. That could be me. If you see somebody that says their username or something is Toward Anarchy, that very well could be me. I am out there, but at Toward Anarchy on Facebook and X and YouTube and on Rumble and Instagram. So any of those places. Of course, if you're ever in Topeka, Kansas, you can see me in person. You could stop in the store here at Amazing Fantasies and say hi, buy a comic book or maybe a manga book or a pop figure or something like that. It'd be really cool if you stopped in and said hi. It wouldn't be the first time it happened, and I hope it's not the last. It's a weird thing that happens, but I enjoy meeting people who know me from radio, from podcasts, from speaking. They don't really know me, but they've heard me talk a lot. And then they meet me in person. I don't think I'm entirely disappointing. You can visit towardanarchy.com anytime to follow along with this episode or listen to other episodes. And I'm working on the anarchyplayer.com thing where I'm trying to get together some people, anarchists, voluntarists, folks like that. If you happen to be one of those, you know somebody, send them my way. Tell them, send me an email. Reach out to me. It's just a place where people could go and listen to various podcasts and streams, not live, nothing like that. It's just a simple player that works on any device, any computer that somebody could go to anytime and select from however many. Ultimately, I'm just getting started on it. I have only sent out a couple of invites and am working with some people to get them added to it. And so it'll grow slowly over time. Looking forward to it, really. I think it'll be a neat thing. Just it's always something. I did it with music a little bit, and it's just I like the idea of having a place where people can come and find these things. And that actually brings up a point, because it happened to me just before the show started here. I don't go chasing people a lot, but every once in a while a name will come up or something will happen, and I'll go look for this person or this thing or whatever it happens to be. Maybe it's a show or a podcast, something like that, and I'll go look for them on the social media, and they'll be there, and they'll have links, or people will reach out to me, and they'll have links, and they don't work. You go to their website, and it's obvious that it hasn't been updated in a really, really long time. Even though I don't use dates at towardanarchy.com, you can kind of tell. You go right to the first thing you see, the first link that you see on the page when you get to towardanarchy.com is a dated podcast episode 26 something. This is 2620 if you're interested, if you're going to find your way to towardanarchy.com. 2620 is the episode that this is right now, and it will probably be up there at the top of the page when you go to look at it at this point. But you can kind of, you get an idea that there's something going on there, that it's current, I'm contributing to it on a regular basis. But there are all these other people and groups and shows, and it's happened over and over and over again over the years, but it had just happened to me just before the show today, where I went to look up somebody, and I find them, and I find that they call themselves the CEO of a thing, a company, really a kind of a big thing. I follow the link and start looking at it, and it's been 5 years since a single thing was on it, and there's tens of thousands of people on that follow the page, and it's been 5 years since anybody's posted a single thing on it, and I think, geez, I'm lazy. It just seems to me that you have that kind of reach, and you're somebody who's somebody, and you want people to find your message. You should try. I visit my website every single day, and I try to make sure that it functions every single day, so that when people are going there, and a lot of people go there every month, it just keeps growing. It works. It works for them, and I've worked over the years to make it so it works even better, and works on everything, and so that you get the same experience no matter what. And I've narrowed it down to the most important points. Wish I could do that when I'm talking, but that's the way it goes. TowardAnarchy.com. That's the space where I can be found all the time, no matter what, and you'll be able to tell that it's current. and that I've put something out recently and that I'm still valuing that thing that I have up there, which it's a weird thing to me to have so much access to people and ideas and the space to do it and to have those ideas and express them and then not use them. So many people bail out of the middle of the conversation. It's happened to me over the years. Have people around that are doing great things and are active and then they just stop. They just quit and there's no particular reason why except that they don't want to do it anymore. And I get it because they were all doing it ultimately, I think, for the wrong reasons. They weren't doing it for themselves. They were doing it for an ideology. I got past doing it for an ideology a long time ago and just wanted to do it for myself. I wanted to be on air. I wanted to have my voice out there like it has been for the last 30 plus years, and so I did, and I do, and you can find me every week out here at more than one time a week, and if you like comic books, you can follow me even a little more closely than you might if you're just trying to follow along with my rantings and ravings, because owning the comic book shop and working in there every day and working to grow it and try to bring people in and try to use the social media in these places to increase the number of people who are visiting my store and spending money when we get down to it. It's been a practice. It's a thing that I have to constantly work on and I'm happy to do that. It's a wonderful thing, and this is too, and that's why I do it. I'm just happy to do it, and so I appreciate you coming along. And as I said, there's a ton of stuff to talk about. So I have a bunch of AI stuff that I want to talk about again, but I think I'm going to do that all in one other show. Today I was looking at on top of everything because they just wrapped up their national convention. The Libertarian Party did. I thought, hey, let's look at the Libertarian Party. Let's give it the old anarchist audit. They just did their party. Let's take a look at the whole thing. And so that's kind of my core today. And I have some notes and things that I thought to sort of try to mention there. But it's all part of really everything that I've been talking about here lately, about whether government can protect us, whether voting or defensive voting, if these things are functional, are they tools that you can use in this system to protect yourself from this system ultimately? And the Libertarian Party is just another one of those tools. And then, of course, if you know, there's a connection here between the show and the Libertarian Party. And so we'll jump into that here in just a second. But there was one headline that I did come across, and I'll get to the AI stuff on another show. Because there's a bunch of different things and some really cool things, so it's good. I'm going to do it really quickly. It'll be the next episode, and that'll be quick. It'll be in the next day or so. I'll be dropping it out there. So I'm just not going to do it right now. But look for it if you're catching this episode later on, and go and look and see if that episode about AI is up there, because there's some interesting things in there that have come up here just recently that are huge ideas and huge things to talk about in terms of AI. But there was one of these other stories and things that were going on in the background that are always there, and things that I've been talking about, like the AI, for years and years, and have my very specific opinions on, particularly when there is certain language that's used when discussing these things. And you can almost always tell when we're talking about something social, something about people, you can almost always tell from the language that's used exactly where it's coming from. That's why it's fairly easy. It's fairly easy to read most headlines and know what the rest of the story is about, because you know what the source is, you know what their tendency for view is, and I've proven myself wrong almost zero times when guessing at the headline and then going, well, I'll read the article anyway and see if that's really what they're talking about. Yep, that's exactly what they're talking about every time. It's just a little bit of paying attention and using those mental faculties to try and really suss out what the truth or reason behind a thing is, given the source of its information. So this particular story, when the headline popped up, I thought, oh, man, this is great, because it's extremely telling. It tells you everything you need to know in the headline if you're somebody who follows these sorts of things, and we have for years here. So this is the headline that I saw initially: Intelligence Predicts Progressive Views But Only After College. Now, that was on MSN, and that was their title. But that wasn't it. That was just some article from another group. Let's see. Do I still have it up here? Is it? Can I show exactly which one it is? Because there's a. Let's see. Is it that one? Yeah, it is this one. So it was MS. It was on MSN, like I say, and it was from SciPost. Okay, I knew there was one more body in there before I got to the source, and I'll get to that in just a second. But this was a story by SciForce that was reposted, and it's maybe a couple of months old at this point. It's hard to say anymore because it's been a long, long time since they actually figured out that they can alter stories and information without changing dates, or that the dates and information on them don't matter. You just change the story and don't tell them that you ever were wrong in the information you were putting out before. So there's a study, it was called Is Progressive Ideology on the Test, Education and Intelligence in the Development of Non-Traditional Attitudes? And it was authored by a number of different people, but when you go and you look the thing up, it's on Sage Journals, and Sage Journals is this, it's a website that hosts these publications, papers, if you will, that are psychology, personality. The corporation that owns Sage Journals is called the Society for Personality and Social Psychology, Incorporated. And so that tells you that they have a particular leaning, right? They have a particular sense of the world, and it's all in psychology and book psychology and the way people are supposed to act, and an ideological and an ideal way for people to act. It's even in there. Is Progressive Ideology on the Test, Education and Intelligence in the Development of Non-Traditional Attitudes? And so, again, to go back to the original article headline from SciPost and MSN, is Intelligence Predicts Progressive Views But Only After College. Now, let me read you the abstract on this real quick and just kind of beat this up, because I think it's clear to me what happens in here. And of course, I'm not going to pay him for the whole paper. I don't care. It doesn't have a very big impact score. Its 5-year impact score is only a 4.5. This may or may not be of any interest to anybody, but if you understand the way some of these things work and the way these papers and things go through academia and people look at them and rate them and whether or not there's going to be any use in them, then it may be of some interest to you. But the rest of us are only interested in what they actually say. And so this is the abstract from these guys, or bits and pieces of it. Enhanced educational attainment and intelligence are consistent correlates of social, liberal, non-traditional attitudes. So, okay, going on to college, getting college, and being intelligent seem to correlate with a socially liberal, non-traditional attitude towards society. Your attitude towards society is more liberal. Well, that makes sense on its face value, because if you go to college, in theory, you experience different people and different ideologies from around the world, and you see that people are generally the same, and that we all have the same general goals and sort of family and life and things like that, mostly generally speaking. There are others who don't. And this is what we're talking about in the terms of non-traditional attitudes and how they can be developed through college. Well, that's what happens. You get out in the world and you get exposed to ideas and ideologies that are different from what you grew up with at home. And what you grew up with in your home life is traditional, right? So it, the rest of it is non-traditional. So first sentence, all right, whatever. However, it is unclear how such associations unfold developmentally. I think it's perfectly clear. I think it's exactly what happens with the education system all the time, and I'll just give it to you in a nutshell. It's a machine, it's a business, and they're churning people through it. And so what's happening is they tell people that are smart that they need to go to college, and that's going to round them out, and that's going to increase their opportunity for jobs, and all of these things are relatively true. The question of whether or not everybody needs to go to college or should go to college is kind of a moot point. It's a different question. Maybe we'll tackle it another time. But they're told that they need to go to college, and that this is how you do these things. You're smart enough. You're passing the grade. The school system says you're smart. So go ahead, go to college, get a degree, strive for a higher level of success in your career and hence in your life. It all sounds perfectly wonderful and great, and if that were how it actually played out, that would be fine. But we already know that there's a problem with the education system from the beginning of it to the end of it, all the way from preschool all the way up through college and higher. There's a different varying problems with it all along the way, from it being from public institutions to private institutions, all of it influenced by the government and centralized authority and manipulators trying to dictate what it is people know and understand to factory farm them really into consumers. That's really what a lot of it is about. Consumers and producers to meet the demands to keep each other happy, so they keep that most of you will keep your noses out of the business of what the really important people are doing. And if you're lucky, if you're compromisable, or if you will sell out, you too can buy yourself into the ideology of statehood and the guys that mess around with our society and with our economy and really just are constantly playing with our heads. And this is, it's obviously problematic, but inside these institutions, inside these colleges, it's to the nth degree. If you aren't already somebody who knows who you are, and a lot of people who go on to college right away after high school don't know who they are. Some do. Some have some idea of who they want to be, but don't know who they are. Very few, I would say, go in knowing who they are. As somebody who has gone to university, somebody who has been and traversed through it in different ways, from different angles, all through the public education system up into higher education, and with varying different results. Somebody who is actually highly intelligent, not just somebody who's intelligent because the system tells them to. And I think that's what's happening here, is you get these people, you tell, oh, well, you're smart enough to go on to college, and then college, they're not that smart, and they're not smart enough to think for themselves, and so they're just churning through the machine. And really what it is they bring them into the school, and they're kind of smart people, and they go to college, and they get told that they're smarter than they really are. And that is part of an indoctrination into socialist statism, because that level of intelligence that they're talking about, we've discussed this before, is an academic level of intelligence that's based on their own standards. It's not an intelligence about the world. It's not an intelligence about how to do things. It is not an intelligence about anything but of and in itself academia, and being smart enough to advance to the next levels of academia and beyond those, which are to the positions of control, into government, into the law. Those are the two big ones. They're tied right together. You can't separate the two of them. So that's what's happening. Kind of smart people are getting drawn into college, told that they're smarter than they really are, and indoctrinated into a socialist ideology. And this has been going on for decades, with the capture of the sort of bulk of the system. And it only stands to make sense because this is part of really the conversation that we'll do here in just a minute on the audit of the LP and the problems with groups like that and all groups like this, political groups, political voting blocks, educational blocks, any of these groups. They're all subject to the same sorts of psychological and social problems that occur within the type of group structure that they're in. And the group structures are very similar when you're talking about liberal ideologies in particular, because liberal ideologies are supposed to leave a lot of room for people to do and be who they are, but that's not consistent with a controlled system. That's when it starts to break down and get out of control. In fact, just an example, I have to reach over my shoulder. I just picked this up today. It's really wonderful. It's called A is for Anarchist. I haven't read the whole thing yet, but it's a book for an adult, but it's presented like an ABC book. You know, A is for Apple, B is for Bob. I don't know what B is for. B is for buildings. C is for cars. Sure, but this one's called A is for Anarchist, and I just love this. And I just glanced at it because I didn't know what I was getting into. It just has a great title, and I don't know if these are. I don't know what to expect. It's just a title, and is it about anarchism? Is it about what? You know, what is it really? And so I glanced at it, and I got a couple of them, and I flip a couple of pages, and A is for anarchist. Anarchists don't like to be told what to do. I declare that I don't think so. Nah, we'll get rid of you. And you are already an anarchist, it says. So right away on the first page, I'm like, okay, this is pretty good. You can jump over to C, though. C is for communism. And so you wonder, C is for communism. Communism is when everyone works together and shares what they make equally. But there's more. It sounds good. The only problem with that, everyone is different, and it's hard to make one size fit all. Again, it doesn't scale, guys. Even the anarchy doesn't scale. Communism doesn't scale. Republicanism doesn't scale. Once it gets past a certain point, it's just control. It's no longer cooperation. It's just you will go along with things or we'll do you in. Let's see, was there any more on this? Let's see. Here we propose an interaction effect between college exposure and intelligence on the development of non-traditional attitudes. So non-traditional attitudes, again, it's just so vague. It's very, what's traditional? Again, we're not a homogeneous culture. There is no monoculture. There's all these guys that like to talk about this monoculture that used to exist. It never existed. That stuff was all in your head. We don't all share traditional values. We don't all share the same value, especially in America, especially in 2026. It wasn't true in 1973 when I was born. It's not true in 2026 when I'm 53 years old. It's never been true. It's never been true that we share these things. So non-traditional attitudes is just a matter of opinion about what is traditional. And so when you're saying traditional in America, well, that's ma and pa, home cooking, white picket fences, 2.5 children, 1.5 dogs and cats. I don't know what the math is, but it's numbers. It's not people. It's ideas about what people should be and then numbers based on those in some rational sense. Our rationale, isn't that funny? Our rationale builds from the fact that a desired learning outcome of college education is to challenge traditional dogma and encourage diverse perspectives. Now, I agree with the latter part of that, but the former part of it is entirely wrong. That's not true at all. I don't believe that for even 1 second. I don't believe that the desired outcome of college education is to challenge traditional dogma. In fact, I think it's to go along with traditional dogma. I'm pretty certain that's the point. You go to college so that you learn to go along and get along just like everybody else. That's why they try to push everybody to go through it. Obviously, not everybody goes through it. Not everybody goes to college, let alone through it. But that's not the point. The point is that they push everybody for it, and so they act as if it's everybody. And they base everything on as if everybody did it, and that anybody who doesn't do it is the weirdo, that there's something wrong with them. So the traditional thing there is to go to college, not to buck the system. I think that's entirely wrong. Encourage diverse perspectives. I definitely agree with that. And I think that that's part – if you actually go away somewhere to go to college, that you will experience that. I think if you're born in Denver, Colorado, and you go to DU – and that's it, you may not get so much life exposure. And I was out by the time I was 7 years old. I had been to different states and different places with my family and without. I had traveled even a little bit by myself. At least they used to be. You used to be able to get on a plane by yourself. I was 7 years old the first time I took a plane, and I flew by myself. No parent was with me. They watch over you on the plane or whatever and make, you know, hopefully somebody's there to pick you up from the airport, because it would have been tough to get a rental car at the age of seven. I guess I wouldn't have had to rent it necessarily. I could have just borrowed it. those with higher intellectual ability should be particularly adept at understanding the intended lesson and to show attendant increase in non-traditional attitudes. So they're saying that based on the standards that they've created and tested intelligence on, that creates their standard for intelligence, the people who meet that intelligence level should understand what they're talking about. It's not the same as saying that people who are smart and outside of the system, who buck the system, that are actually challenging traditional dogma are smart or aren't smart. It's just that only those people that have been through the system and are smart according to the system, those are the people who are going to be able to understand this. Do you see where I get my point then, that it's really just about getting sort of smart people to come in, tell them that they're really smart, and then to program them with a dogma, because it's clear, I think, that that's what's happened. I'll share the link to this study up there for you. You'll visit it if you want. I guess you'd have to pay for the actual paper. So, in fact, no, I'm not going to do it. Just look it up. It's on Sage Journals. I gave the name of it. It's all there for the record. If you really want to go and find it, if you really want to find out what they did and what they studied. They talk about some of the measurements and things. Let's see. Data on social attitudes were obtained in a large community sample of youth at age 17 and remeasured at 2 points in early adulthood. That's not great. First of all, it doesn't say when early adulthood is. Intelligence was linked with growth in non-traditional attitudes among those with higher educational attainment. No such association was observed among individuals who never attended college. That makes sense, and it should be that way by default. So you shouldn't be comparing it to people who didn't attend college necessarily. You should be comparing it to other people who have attended college at different intelligence levels and see if they come out the same. Because the people who don't attend college, I think I've been pretty clear about it already, do so for whatever reasons that they do, but obviously they're not going to fall into this category of people who are experiencing different places and different ideologies, because they never went to it. So of course they're not going to understand it. They're not going to have a greater liberal thinking or a divergence from their traditional thinking, because they're still wrapped up in it. They never left it. They're still there. And so the whole thing is a little bit for me. I guess that's all I can say. It's just a little bit for me. So let's do this. Let's take a look at the LP. They just had their Libertarian Party National Convention. It just wrapped up. They met in Grand Rapids at the DeVos Palace Place convention palace. I had a place, something convention center, and it was the 21st through the 25th, and it's just the end of that week now. Convention, those are whole. They're held. The Republicans do it. The Democrats do it. The Libertarians do it. And it's just to choose their national leadership. It's you know, whoever is at the top of the national chair and others around them, secretaries and at-larges, just all of these people that are involved in this political organization, it's to elect them. They get together and they elect their leadership and they set their debate platform, which the Libertarian debate, the platform itself has been really, really consistent. The core of the Libertarian platform has been consistent, really consistent since it began in the early 70s, and as there's always been a battle. That's, you know, a large part of the problem with the Libertarians is that there's always been an internal battle, and that's what leads them to be extremely ineffective and becoming less and less effective. If you want my opinion ahead of the finish of the audit here, so they get together and they work on the bylaws and they ultimately just plot their course for into and through the 2028 election for the presidency, right? So, no, I wasn't there. Just so we're clear about that, I did not go to the thing, but I know a lot of people who were there, and coverage was wide. It was, if you are interested in knowing about what was going on at the Libertarian Party convention, it didn't take much. You could follow Grace. There were other couple of people easily that could have been followed, Dave Smith, many, many others, lots of people there, lots of people covering it, all of the, most of them with an intent other than my own. So my coverage of it is going to be different from their assessment of the whole thing, as you will see. But I wasn't there, but there's a lot of people that I know who were, and the coverage was really good. So I think we have a pretty clear picture of what was going on. So I'll hit some of the highlights for you, and I'll try to use those as the sort of points for considering the usefulness of the Libertarian Party in and of itself. So they did. They ended up electing all their leaders, and for what it's worth, I guess, Evan McMahon, he's been elected as a national chair, and it's not a statement about him. It's a statement about me. I don't know who he is, and that's because I don't care. It's not because he isn't effective at his job. I guess he's from Indiana, really well respected, done a lot for the party, so I guess he's deservedly been elected to this national chair. And then they elected a bunch of other people to the various positions, but it was all about the sort of real life fun and drama in between votes and you know, gatherings on the floor, that things got interesting. So there's one particular faction of the party that we've talked about before, and that's, again, that's the core problem with the Libertarians, right? It's that it's all factionalized. You don't really hear about that so much in the Republican and Democrat parties. You'll hear the guys that they support the president or their leading candidates, the craziest, loudest, most obnoxious people that they can present, and then there's those who don't necessarily, but they fully 100% support the party, and or they leave it, and they don't, you know, that's the general consensus, and that's the facade that's certainly placed on it. But that facade doesn't work with the Libertarian Party because it's so open, and that's part of the problem with groups like I was talking about earlier, liberal groups. That's the openness of them is part of the problem, is that there's no sort of litmus test for who's a good voice for the arguments that they make and who isn't, because everybody is welcome. Supposedly everybody else is welcome in those other parties too, but you have to conform to a particular ideology to exist and stay within those parties. It's not true within the Libertarian Party, and it's really one of their big problems. So it's all factionalized, and you know, that's the biggest problem with the Libertarian Party, other than the whole, you know, authoritarianism light thing that they represent. They're all factionalized. They're off in their own little factions, and it's so much worse than the Republicans or the Democrats. This particular faction, they actually wanted to dissolve the entire party, and they, I guess, repeatedly offered different procedural attempts and were disrupting the proceedings all throughout the entire 4 days. And in the end, I guess the main leader, this Jeremy Kaufman guy, he was removed from the floor. He's an agitator from New Hampshire. He's part of the Free State Project, I guess. And I guess he's also a Mises Caucus guy. And that's what I was talking about, these Mises Caucus guys. I've talked about them before. He was removed from the floor. And there's all these things. And I hate to even bring this up because I didn't go and look, but it's something that was brought up repeatedly in the conversation that these other guys are having, and so it's important to them. So if it's important to you, you should go look it up. It's not important to me. I'm just passing it along as information that there's, you know, troubled past actions and views held by these guys, this Jeremy Kaufman in particular. And there's some people that call him a Fed that's purposely trying to destroy the Libertarian Party, which in and of itself is some gaslighting nonsense. So he's a member of the Mises Caucus, and these guys have been trying. It's a continued growing takeover of the party for about a decade, not quite, but something like that. But it really took off in 2020 with the Joe Jorgensen campaign. And if you remember me, I tried to get Joe on the show, and she was going to be on the show. She was going to come and have a conversation with me, but then her campaign blew up. Her campaign manager was quit or fired or something like that, because supposedly he said it wasn't going in the right direction. But all I saw from them is not managing her people. You know, I have tens of thousands of listeners in any given month that through the network or through my own direct connections, most of them voluntarist, libertarian, anarchist light, whatever. People were interested in hearing, if nothing else, the ideas of what the Libertarian Party has to offer as a potential hedge against this thing, this craziness that is our two-party system, and the craziness that is our laws and out-of-control government. But they've been part of this Mises Caucus, and they tried to. I don't know if they tried to force Joe out because she was just kind of milk toast and there were better representatives at the time. I don't really know, and I don't think it matters, because I don't think that they care. I don't think that unless they get one of their guys in that they're going to support anybody. That's what it seems like to me. Her campaign was just terrible, but these guys were able to gain some footing through that, and it's unfortunate because I think they give Mises a bad name, because Mises is about economics, not about politics. It's a trickle down thing to politics. The economics is more important, and they're not. And if they would stick with that, that would be fine. But they don't. It's about a social order using the economics that they understand to force a social order. That's what they do. That's what the socialists do. That's what government is. That is so. They're not being particularly different than any of these. They're not a different offering. They're just a different authoritarianism. Authoritarianism light at best. And then Jorgensen, speaking of that, she just announced that she was going to, that she formed an exploratory committee to decide if she should run again. And I have to say that the response was underwhelming. It was visibly sort of negative, and including Kaufman himself, who jumped on there, which I thought was funny, because, you know, who is this? Who are you? Like he doesn't know who she is. You're a terrible person, kind of thing. Nobody should even pay attention to you, you know, because you're a nobody. And I just had to comment to, I don't know any of these people, I know of them, but I just had to comment in the thread directly to him. I just said, she's just another libertarian clown like you. You should know you're the leader of the circus. So, and that's the way I think of all of these guys, because it is just a circus. Let me give you some examples. So there was a movement to demand business casual dress code. This is a really neat thing, the whole of it. At some point, somebody said, we're going to demand a particular dress code, because, again, the openness of the Libertarian Party and inviting people in, and certain grooming standards and expectations about the clothing. And it's really no wonder why, because the place was just full if you look at videos and pictures of it, and there are many of them, the place is just full of unprofessional, and some of them are just disgusting people. No sense of decorum whatsoever. And that's if you could probably get past the smell. And this is coming from a guy who spent most of his life in comic book shops. My comic book shop is nice and clean, but back in the day, that wasn't necessarily the expectation. And the more gamers you have, the larger and more gamey the store gets. And by larger, I mean the size of people's backsides. So I know what I can look at a picture and smell it is what I'm trying to say to you. I was looking at these pictures and I'm smelling them, and I can just tell that they smell. And while I don't care at all, not in any sense whatsoever, what anyone wears, what clothing they want to wear, I don't care if you, they, them, whoever they imagine or really truly believe that they are, or actually turn themselves into something they're not. What I would care about if I were there, it would be the representation, a professional look, an appearance to other people that they're not here to attract attention and get attention for themselves and their cause, that they're here for the betterment of the group, for this collective that they've decided that they want to be a part of, and looking professional. And I don't care about it, gender ideology or any of that. It shouldn't matter. There's one guy in particular I saw pictures of, a guy that looked like a lady, and by that I mean a lady of the night, and that was the sort of point of it. If you look at this trashy whore, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you look like a trashy whore. It doesn't matter if you call yourself a dude or a chick, or if you have a particular set of sexual parts. It just doesn't matter. You still look like a disgusting whore, and I don't want you representing me, and I would understand that other people don't want you representing them either. You don't represent me, even when I cut down trees and wear high heels and suspendies and a bra. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. But obviously, to be fair, none of these people represent me. So I'm not. That tells you the truth of what I'm saying when I say I don't care about what clothing they wear. What I care about is the professional standards. What I care about is the appearance, right? They don't represent me. Not at all. None of the clowns, not even the ones trying to dissolve the party, because I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be my place. I don't go into places where people voluntarily come together and pretend like I'm one of them, instead of just dropping out of the group. Well, because I don't respect them. I wouldn't stay around to try to destroy it from within, because those people are there voluntarily. They want to be there. I don't want to be there. And that's part of that. That just proves that these people are just as bad as the rest of the people already in government, with the rest of the people who believe that it's about a collective ideology, that these people are not going to be any better, even though they try to put themselves on a pedestal and have these higher values. That's one of the problems. And I'll get into that here in a second, but I wanted to finish the sort of point that, you know, every populist candidate ever, whether it was for one party or the other, has seized their power and used it to their advantage, and at the same time violated countless others in doing so. And so none of these people represent me. And that's how you can know I'm being honest in my assessment of this from a perspective. All of the libertarians tried to give it a gloss over the problems that they were having there, including the guy that was there constantly giving off Nazi salutes. I don't know about constantly, but it seemed that it happened repeatedly, and there was more than one picture of it. That guy ended up getting thrown out of the convention too, where his coffin was removed from the floor by a floor vote. This guy was taken out in handcuffs. He apparently, some woman took one of their tracts or a pack of their tracts that they were handing out to people, the little publications, little things that they're handing out to people, and tried to make away with them or something. And ultimately, they were having an argument, and he smacked her. He just upright smacked a bitch. And apparently, she was pregnant, and like a good libertarian... She called the cops, and they dealt with it with the police instead of dealing with it. And she wasn't hurt. She's not really hurt. Her pride was hurt. She was stealing somebody else's property. She was asked to give back. All these other things are a real side note. It really sucks that they happened, but they're just, you know, this guy is the same guy that's sitting there giving Heil Hitler salutes. Ridiculous. Silly, silly nonsense. And so no sympathy for the guy, right, when you're the guy that's standing there doing that, making the place look like a bunch of fools. You know, those people are going to be pretty happy to see somebody dragged off like that, I'm thinking. The libertarian, just to give a perspective about these guys and their usefulness over the years. Now, just to mention the connection, right? If you know the show, then you know there's a connection between the Libertarian Party and myself. I was mentored by one of the earliest members, number 7, I think, literal registered members of the Libertarian Party. I grew up in Colorado. He was there. He helped form the party. I met him as a young boy going to church. My grandmother knew him and met him and his wife and his children. And we knew them for many, many years until they passed not too long ago. And so I had this particular influence from the Libertarian Party. The core of the Libertarian Party is starting it. And, of course, Toward Anarchy was the original motto that was proposed by David F. Nolan and maybe others. I saw specifically David F. Nolan talking about it in a piece of paper, a newsletter, pre-party newsletter that was in Ken's collection in his library, which was pretty extensive, libertarian literature and collection of early tracts of the Libertarian Party, things like that, the newsletters and stuff. And I believe that the Mises Institute ended up with his library. I certainly hope they did. And it's one of those things maybe I need to find out. But I imagine that ultimately they did, assuming that his son and daughter, you know, had taken some of the things that they had wanted out of it. So there's that connection. Toward Anarchy is directly connected to the earliest founding of the Libertarian Party by the anarchists who were talking about the idea of moving toward anarchy, never giving up on the idea of freedom ever, never compromising on it in some senses, always working toward it and sort of fighting the system. But their influence over elections and politics has been entirely minimal. Their best percentage in any presidential race was 3% of the popular vote. That was back in, I think, 2016 with Gary Johnson. He also received a faithless voter nod from somebody in the Electoral College. So they picked up 2 votes. They'd only done that 2 times. They've only done that 2 times, once for Gary Johnson and then once for their first race, 71-72. But the vote was actually for the vice president, but it holds over for the president. Longer explanation, don't care. And so they've had very limited effect on the political system at all. In a single state, they've never claimed more than 12%. It was 11-something, and that was Alaska. They currently hold less than 200. It's something like maybe 153 political offices nationwide, and there are hundreds of thousands of political offices nationwide when it comes down to it. It's a fraction of a percentage, somewhere around 0.03% or something like that. It's really, really kind of sad when you think about it, unless you give them credit for the fact that they've outlived, half a dozen other so-called major political parties, the Greens, the Constitution Party, Reform Party, but then you give them credit for other things like the most expensive campaign in history for the Koch brothers trying for the run. David, I don't know which one it was, in 1980, that one of them tried to run, but it was both of them and their money. Truly, the party's history has been nothing but infighting and embarrassment for sort of ridiculous expenditures like that, agreements between anarchists and minarchists that compromise anarchism ultimately, the different factions peppered in with all these different types of different bigotries and racism and sexism and classism and truly every failure of organization and determination that you could account to somebody. The libertarians Americans have been through it. I mean, if voting, you know, these things that I've been talking about here recently, the power of the vote, the value of the vote, I'm talking about them all the time, but I just sort of addressed, you know, voting defensive here really recently, a week ago, I guess. If voting is statistically useless, and it is, particularly on the larger scale, but even on the smaller scale, I've proven it over and over again that it is. There's so many evidence of it. In fact, there was evidence of it in the Libertarian Party. They tried at the LPNC here. They tried to have a vote about sort of racist language and ideologies or something that they wouldn't be upheld. Or I don't know the details of it, but it was about sort of racism and bigotry within and is sort of institutionalized or sort of the institution itself looking at those things and saying that they're not acceptable. That failed to pass by one vote. It failed to pass by one vote. Doing the right thing within the good party, the party of the people, for the people, by the people. I don't know if any of that's true or not. They couldn't pass it. The Libertarian Party is full of high ideals and aspirations, and that's what I was talking about earlier. And this is a psychological problem. This is a sociology problem because it has very limited funding and very limited resources, and it's almost non-existent power to act outside of themselves, and so a lot of it is just infighting. But the entire point of moving away from the compromise of the two major parties is to stand ideologically on or for some value set that the other parties fail to offer, right? So the mindset of every player going into the Libertarian Party is not to compromise, that it's about the revolution, and then they suffer from it as much, if not more, from identity fusion, this idea that they're identity becomes fused with who they are as a political figure and the ideology of the group or your job or whatever it is. It's identity fusion. Instead of your identity being who you are and then those other things being a part of your identity, they become one, that you can't separate them, that you can't just quit it, and that's no longer a part of your identity because it's so personal, because it is about not compromising. That's what going into the third party is about, right? And so what happens is when there's an identity shift or an ideological shift within the party or a change in direction, everything seems like it's a personal attack from one or by some faction or another or other faction against another, and some compromise of the revolution, I guess. And so that's it. That's your Libertarian Party in a nutshell, completely ineffective and just basically a clown show. If you're on the network, stick around. Dr. Dean Lloyd is up with our first part of The Heart of the Matter, getting to the heart of the matter. It's a fantastic conversation. If not, look for it at towardanarchy.com. Look for it in all the other places and YouTube and Rumble at Toward Anarchy. And until the next time, take care.
Well, if you're not a communist, what are you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
I dislike all forms of government.
But somebody must rule.
And I don't like the word rule.
Well, if we don't like the word rule, let's call it leadership.
Leadership in government is political power, and political power is an official form of antagonizing the people.
But, my dear young man, politics aren't
necessary.
Politics are rules imposed upon the people.
In this country, rules are not imposed. They are the wish of all free citizens.
Travel around a bit, then you'll see how free they are.
Yes, but you didn't let me finish.
They have every man in a straitjacket, and without a passport, he can't move a toe.
But if you'll allow me to...
In a free world, they violate the natural rights of every citizen.
But you don't let me... Will you?
They have become the weapons of political despot. Will... Am I free to travel?
Of course you're free to travel.
Only with a passport.
Will you allow me to say something?
Only with a passport. Do animals need passports? Today, man has too much power. The Roman Empire collapsed with the assassination of Caesar. And why? Because of too much power. Feudalism blew up with the French Revolution. And why?
Right.
Because of too much power. And today, the whole world will blow up. And why?
Because of too much power.
The monopoly of power is a menace to freedom. It degrades and victimizes every individual. And where is the individual?
I don't know.
lust and terror, because you're made to hate instead of love. If civilization is to survive, we must combat power until the dignity and peace of man are restored.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy.